So thank you, Sophie, for the introduction into our presentation of the results. I would like to start with a few remarks on the framework and the conditions of this project, Art School Differences. Until quite recently, the art school was not subject to research, especially not in the context of questioning social inequalities or processes of inclusion and exclusion. The decade of the 2000s showed an array of research done in Great Britain on art schools that actually found the field to be, I quote, a preserve of the privileged. We would like to refer to the study entitled Art for a Few, conducted by Penny Jane Burke and Jackie McManus. They found that higher art education remains preserved to a privileged white upper and middle class clientele that is able to mobilize their legitimized cultural and social capitals during admission exams. So their research and results served as an important model for our own, for the development of our own research design. And therefore, we are very happy to have you here, Jackie, with us at the symposium and as a member of the Institutional Advisory Board. At the beginning, our project was also inspired by a study conducted by Barbara Rothmüller at the Academy of Fine Arts, Vienna. Rothmüller interviewed candidates applying for studies in fine arts and found that especially candidates from working-class backgrounds, those with migration experiences, as well as candidates from rural origin, were admitted considerably less likely. In an attempt to conduct a joint research with Vienna, the Institute for Art Education here at the ZHDK first conducted a preliminary study entitled Making Differences, Schweizer Kunsthochschulen, to be able to compare the Swiss with the Austrian situations. And building on this first empirical basis, we thereafter initiated Art School Differences in collaboration with the two Geneva Schools for Art and Design, the HAD, and Music, the HEM. Our research in Art School Differences focused on processes of inclusion and exclusion in the assessed art schools. We analyzed how these are facilitated and maintained, or possibly challenged by the process of Bologna. We thereby asked how normativities and privileges are reproduced. Although our research context was restricted to the field of art schools, we think that the discussion and findings pertain to other fields of higher education too, and here especially also to the traditional universities. So we would like to briefly address the project's aims and our research perspective. The aim of our project was twofold. On one hand, we questioned and assessed the dynamics of inequality within institutional structures, leading to the potential maintenance, perpetuation, and the continued reinstatement of institutional norms. On the other, we proposed transformative interventions into these structures, striving for a more open, democratic, and pluralist institutions. Building on these aims, we opted for a two-dimensional project design with different steps of research. In a first phase, we did an ethnography of the institution. In terms of our research methods and to address the first project's aim of assessing the dynamics of inequality, we did the participant or ethnographic observation of selection juries during the admissions process. We did interviews with some of the jury members we had observed, and interviews with candidates, both admitted and rejected ones. We did focus group interviews with administrative staff and students in their bachelor. And finally, we did also an analysis of some curricula in music, as well as discourse analysis centering on the public presentation of the schools. Additionally, we combined this qualitative and ethnographic material with statistical data available from the schools and the Federal Statistical Office in order to generate a further understanding of structural change. In a second but parallel step, which was a phase of participatory action research, we worked with seven groups of co-researchers. We provided space and support for the development of research ideas. And we offered a quite demanding training on critical sociologies, feminist and post-colonial theories related to art education, which eventually resulted in the reader art school differences. Carmen will give a little more insights on this part in a minute. And finally, we also identified some fields of action for the participating schools that are also geared towards a transformation of these potentially exclusionary structures. So, come to the research questions. Our research was guided by the following research questions. How do art schools recruit, evaluate, and select their candidates? Are there any mechanisms that affect the exclusion of very specific social groups? Which subjectivities are produced in institutional discourses and policies? In regard to the strategies applied by the candidates, how do they deal with the requirements related to the ideal student? And in terms of the internationalization policies, what are the challenges for art schools regarding the simultaneous workings of local and global structures in the field of the arts today? So to address these questions, we observed, as I said, the admission procedures in the following, in these 11 fields of study, ranging from fine arts and design to music and theater. So we could not observe all the subjects offered, of course, in these institutions, because there would be just too many for this kind of research. But we think that the ones chosen are very representative for the wide range of the disciplines offered at these three institutions. So now we come to some selected results. We will now present a few insights derived from our data. First, and in reference to the statistical data analyzed, I would like to touch on the composition of the student body in art schools on a general basis and look at internationalization in particular. Then Pauline will turn to different types of students and how they cope with institutional requirements established by the schools. Finally, Sophie will touch on an array of fields of tensions, concomitancies, and contradictions that are particularly inherent to the selection processes of art schools. A consideration of fields of tensions is insightful to understand a continuous reinstatement of an image of the normative student and how this produces inequalities. So let me begin with a few words on the composition of the student body. I will show now some maps and graphs that some of you might know already or have seen on other occasions, but we think that they are very illustrative for our argument. So we would like to show them again. First of all, we detected that the number of students with preliminary professional education, so Berufsbildung, Formation professionnelle, en français, continually diminished since 2005 when the Bologna reforms were implemented. On the other hand, in most fields of study, and especially in visual arts and music, the number of students with the baccalaureate or matura degrees equally increased. And this change in preliminary formal education resulted in a tendency of rising social inequality if we consider the highest educational degree by students' parents as an indicator. So, for example, the share of students in music at ZADK with at least one parent holding a university degree or an equivalent rose from 48% in 2005 to 63% in 2013, or in design at the HEAD from 46% to 85%. Although these figures for the schools under scrutiny gradually differ from subject to subject, of course, this tendency of rising social disparities between the educational degrees of parents compared to the resident population is obvious in most of the subjects. So we can first, like a first conclusion regarding the social origins of the students, the artistic disciplines can be considered as among the most exclusive in higher education in Switzerland. So this slide shows the proportion of students with at least one parent holding a university degree and or equivalent is at the same level as traditional elite qualifications such as medicine or technical science, right, on the right side, at the ETH. And especially the proportion of students' mothers holding tertiary degrees is among the highest in music and theater, and a bit less so for design and the fine arts. Similarly, if we look at the social class positions held by the students' parents, we get similar results. So in terms of professional class positions, the arts lie somewhere in between university subjects on the right and Fachhochschule, universities of applied sciences, on the left, together with the humanities, social sciences, and sports. So we see that regarding the social origin, the most or the majority of students in art schools have very culturally privileged countries, social origins, although they may not be coming from the economic elites. So, in terms of internationalization, art schools prove to be international when the students' differing citizenship and their place of secondary education are considered. All artistic disciplines experienced a significant internationalization in the last 15 years. In 2015, 24% of students in design and 46% in music, theater, and visual arts are so-called international students. That is, students without Swiss citizenship that came to Switzerland especially to study. As you see on this slide, the proportion of international students is significantly higher than in other fields of studies, such as economics or services, health or techniques and IT, but also these are subjects at universities of applied sciences, and the orange bar indicates the number of international students in different fields of study. So you see the arts and design are on the left, but also higher than in most subjects at traditional universities. Strikingly, this internationality remains restricted to nationalities from affluent states, from European Union member countries or Northern America by 75%. There is an obvious overrepresentation of German students in Zurich or French students in Geneva that is contrasted by an even more striking underrepresentation of students from Southern European countries, post-Yugoslavian countries, or Turkey. And this missing of significant groups of the resident population, so the second or third born generation of the so-called guest worker migration, that could also qualify as international, is actually obscured by the internationality of schools. In case of the ZADK, we see that these rising figures of international students lead to a decline of domestic students with migrant backgrounds, especially since 2006. So in this graphic, the blue bar indicates the proportion of students with Swiss citizenship, the orange one, the so-called international students, and the purple one, the proportion of domestic students with migrant background. And what is striking here is that between 2006 and 2009, the proportion of international students starts to grow very fast, while at the same time the number of students with migrant background starts to decline. And this trend is not only here in ZADK, but actually in all art schools in Switzerland. So the data by the Federal Statistical Office do show us that the other schools have very similar trends like this. So, for example, in design, now the design subjects at HES, University of Western Switzerland, where the Geneva schools are part of, they have a very similar trend. So between 2006 and 2012, the number of international students starts to grow very fast, whereas the students with migration experiences, they stagnate at a very low level, so around 3% of the student body. Considering the interdependency between social origins and migrant status, these observations suggest that candidates from affluent states and backgrounds are highly valued and considered as international, whereas domestic migrants with origins from other and less privileged countries were not, and therefore remain excluded. In the admission processes we observed, it became obvious that this kind of cosmopolitan capital, as Anne-Catherine Wagner and others have termed it, is in fact a very effective asset for candidates striving for art schools in Switzerland. At the same time, our interviews with candidates and students provided evidence that for international students in all study fields, daily struggles to secure their living and meet requirements for their residency, study and work permits was extremely stressful and psychologically harmful, despite their generally privileged situation. So although they might have higher social origin in their countries or their family, this does not mean that they do not face a difficult economic or social situation here. That's probably also why 3 out of our 7 projects of co-research treated this question of the challenging economic and social situation for international students, and this especially in Geneva. So tomorrow you will hear one station of the park who will give you some insights into this issue of international students. So, looking at these results regarding the social structure of art schools proves to be an almost model illustration of Pierre Bourdieu's findings on the reproduction of the cultural elites. People who have benefited from support by their families and or other mentors and have had preliminary teaching in recognized art and music education facilities, as well as access to a social network in design in this domain, are very likely to succeed in accessing the art schools. So we also found, I didn't show this because it's a bit more complicated to explain, but we also found that candidates that had a preliminary teaching in art or design subjects, for example, here at the propedeutikum, at the preliminary courses, they had a very high. They were admitted very much more than people who didn't have this possibility, which is to say that this preliminary education is very expensive. It costs like 5,000 francs per semester. So, I think this is also something that we have to assess regarding these questions. So social class and with educational degrees of parents are the most important determinants. However, as we saw, this is accentuated if people have migration experiences or specific ethnicities. And thereby it becomes clear how social class adherence has inclusionary and exclusionary effects, especially in its intersectional working. Specific ethnicities, certain kinds of bodies and sexualities are constitutive for an appropriate class adherence. And now I would like to give over the word to Pauline, who will talk about the strategies applied by the candidates during the admission procedures.